The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I love those drums. 2 months ago, the History Channel aired a mini-series called The Bible, which was watched by millions of Americans each week throughout March. Did anyone see that here? A few of you, yeah. In fact, it was so popular that the creators of the miniseries are now planning a novelization. That's right, the Bible is going to be turned into a book. It's about time, if you ask me. I will admit I didn't watch the miniseries, but I wish I had, because many of the stories in the Bible actually make for great cinema. I don't know about how the miniseries dealt with the story of Pentecost, but I can picture it being some pretty gripping television. You have the unsure, probably dispirited disciples waiting for something to happen because Jesus had told them that it would, when suddenly a sound like the rush of a violent wind comes down from heaven, and tongues of fire rest on each of the men in the room. The sound was so loud that everyone outside heard it and gathered around. And the disciples started miraculously speaking to the people and the crowd in the native languages of all those pilgrims. You can imagine the shocked expression on the face of that pilgrim from Pamphylia, who all of a sudden hears someone from Roman Palestine speaking to him in fluent Pamphylian, with a perfect Pamphylian accent. I noticed something a few years back. Often, when I meet someone from a foreign country, the name of that country will only come out in conversation if the country is a large one. So, if I'm speaking to an Italian, she might say, well, in Italy, we don't watch baseball, we watch football, which you Americans call soccer. Someone from a smaller country will often not say the name of his country, but simply refer to it as my country. So when speaking with someone from, say, Nepal, he might say, in my country, we have many mountains and too many Western hippies. Someone from a small country will assume I have no idea what or where that country is. As it turns out, I probably do know where their country is, and I probably think their food is delicious. But usually, they don't think their country is large enough to merit mentioning it by name, because the American he's speaking with won't know it anyway. So over the years, I've tried to learn a few words in various languages, if only hello and thank you. There is a wonderful combination of surprise and joy when I say thank you in Armenian to a waiter in an Armenian restaurant, because I really never get mistaken for an Armenian. And with that one word, the listener knows I know something about where they come from, that they are not a total stranger to me. What the Holy Spirit was saying to the people that day through the apostles was not only that God is powerful enough to do this amazing thing, but that God knows and loves each and every one of you so much that he's going to make sure you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in your own language. God speaks Pamphylian. And on that day, all those years ago, so did at least one of the apostles. And of course, language goes both ways. So if someone can speak in your own language, you can also be heard and understood in your own language. Through Jesus Christ, and in turn through his disciples, God has done amazing, indeed miraculous things. Demons were cast out, water was turned into wine, sight was restored, the dead were even raised to life. But not one of those things happened on the great day of Pentecost, the day of God's Holy Spirit coming down upon the followers of Jesus, his church. The blessing that the people of God experienced on that day was that everyone heard the message of Jesus Christ in a way they could understand. Can you only imagine what that must have been like for an Elamite or a Phrygian, someone far from home, a stranger in a strange land, to experience that? It's almost impossible for those of us who speak English as a native language, the most widely spoken language on the planet, to understand what it is like to come from a small country and have someone greet you in your own language, let alone have a meaningful discussion with you about God and your place in the universe. I think maybe the closest we can come is to think back to some distant memory from our childhood, maybe of a place or a person that we loved, and come across someone else, perhaps the only other person on God's green earth who shares that memory. Hey, Andy, you remember that fort you and I built out in the woods behind the Methodist church before you moved away in fifth grade? I went back last month, and it's still there. A beautiful memory shared with only one or two or three other people may be as close as we can get. And even that is a pale comparison to having someone speak to you and understand you when you didn't think such a thing was possible. That was the power of God at work 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. And it is still the power of God at work today. It is not generally accompanied by violent winds or tongues of fire, but it is still powerful, and it is still the gospel at work in the world. When we are led by God's Holy Spirit to listen deeply and speak to others and meet them where they are, we are following the example of those very first Christians so many years ago. Pentecost is for us both a day of miraculous power that sends the message of Jesus Christ to the four corners of the earth, and a reminder that Jesus was true to his word when he said that he would send the Holy Spirit to comfort and guide his people. It is the day when the diversity of God's people, both all those years ago, all those miles away, and right here, right now, hear God's word and speak to each other and understand each other as though they were brothers and sisters, because from that day on they were, and we are. Amen.